Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Our text for this morning's meditation is found recorded in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 25th verse. But an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go forth to the road that descends to Jerusalem, to Gaza." And this is the desert road. And he arose and went. And behold, there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship. And he was returning, sitting in his chariot, and was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go up and join this chariot." And when Philip had run up, he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "Well, how could I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the message of scripture which he was reading was, "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who should relate his generation? For his life was removed from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "Please tell me, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of someone else?" And Philip opened his mouth, beginning from the scripture, and preached Jesus to him. And they went along the road, and they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, but went on his way rejoicing. Call service is over. The assignment service is over. And now many of you have different kinds of thoughts. If you are a candidate, you're saying to yourself, "I wonder what it's going to be like when I get there. What kind of church? What kind of this, that, or the other?" If some of the wives were here, they would perhaps wonder, "I wonder why we were sent there instead of there." And maybe you might think that. Maybe you might wonder, "How is it God can find a place for me over in that place, but I felt I should be in another place?" If you recall Acts 8, and you forget my voice this morning because it's all dry in my mouth and it's hard to really talk and get the words apart. If you recall in Acts 8, Philip was having a very successful ministry in Samaria. Things were going well. He didn't seem to have a problem from our viewpoint. Things were going really great. People were believing in Jesus Christ. The word was just really taking effect. And suddenly, he's thrown out in the middle of the desert. In the desert. He's tossed in the desert by God, who says, "Go out there and go talk to this lone soul." Now think for a moment as a pastor and a district official and think church growth, not to knock it. You got all this growth on here, why go after this one person? Couldn't you send somebody else over there? Couldn't someone else have really been delegated while Philip, who was doing a great job, continued that job? God didn't say that. He said, "You go. You go because I want you to go. You go because I want you to do something there in my stead to this eunuch." Now think about the eunuch. How did Jews feel about them? They weren't the greatest ones to love. They were the kind of people you want to stay away from. You didn't treasure them. Why bring a message to them or to that one guy? But God said, "You go out there A desert place. I like that term. I have a parish in a desert place. I know what that's a lot. But I think his desert was a lot different than the Bakersfield desert. It was barren. We had a city. But this lonely place, he was sent to do one thing, to bring the word of God, according to the will of God, to that man out there. That man was sitting there reading Isaiah, having knowledge of God, but not of Christ. Not that Christ was the Savior, Christ was the Messiah. He knew about the triune God. He had worshiped. He had done all these nice things, but he needed to know more than that. Christ had died and risen again. He didn't know that. And God in his mercy says, send someone to that desert place, and Philip, you're it. Philip could have said, why me? Philip could have said, of all the folks in Samaria, I've even trained them, they're better. You don't hear Philip saying anything. He's placed out there, he meets with the eunuch, and he's saying, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what's going on in that Bible you're reading? That's going to be your ministry, whether you're a candidate, a vicar, someone, or on hold. That's still going to be your ministry. To really pray and go to people with the Word of God and explain and share with them what is it God is saying. You notice we don't have the sermon of Philip here. It said he began with the scripture and preached Jesus. I think that's a good sermon right there. It tells us you are to preach Jesus. You are to preach Jesus wherever you go. The desert place, the megalopolis. The town that's only described best by being 5 miles beyond reduced speed. Wherever you go, you are to preach Jesus, because there are his people. He sent Philip out to a desert place. To a desert place for one soul. Because every soul is precious to God. Every soul. My man flips back to John 3. And John 3:16 is so well known. God so loved the world. But John 3:17, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes in him will not be condemned. But how can they believe, as Paul said, if they haven't heard it? No creature. How can they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And God is doing this thing again. He wants them to hear about Jesus. And he preached Jesus to them. When you preach Jesus, don't just say 5 letters and that spells the name. Don't go to the Greek and necessarily say it means this, that, and that, or what it could mean. Preach the life of Jesus Christ as God gave it to us in the Bible. Talk about how he came, became a man, took upon mortality, was suffered, died, was humiliated. And yet, not only did he die, but conquered death. That when you hear Romans 6 about buried into death by baptism and yet alive in Christ, it's meaningful. It's meaningful. You preach Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, the one who really can make things happen. You'll meet people out there who are locked in. They've been told, you are hopeless. You can't go from square one to square two. Your background is lousy. Your this is lousy. Your that is lousy. You are hopeless. And they may believe that. And God says, all things are possible to him that believes. With God, all things are possible. A little different message, right? Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus wherever God tells you to go. The soup, the hallway, desert place, big city, little city, wherever God sends you, remember one thing. God doesn't play games with his word or with you. God is a God of creation. He's serious about saving souls. He is the only one who saves souls. He doesn't send you to a place to fail. And he does send him to a place to proclaim that word, and he preached Jesus to him. He started with the scripture in Isaiah and went on and preached Jesus. We're here as a seminary to teach Jesus and preach Jesus. And as some of you go off for calls, preach Jesus. To assignments, preach Jesus. Don't ask the question, Lord, why did I have to go that place? That's a good place. There are souls out there. That's why you were sent there. Because God wants them as much as he wants us. There are people out there who haven't heard Jesus Christ is Lord. They've heard Jesus, but not Jesus Christ is Lord. They've heard he's a good person, a moral example, a nice fellow, but they don't know he's the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So you go out there and you preach Jesus wherever your call or assignment takes you. Those of us who will be here will do the same thing. We'll preach Jesus. Because we're here too by the same command, the same invitation or privilege of God to preach Jesus. Preach that Christ as the victorious Lord, who's victorious over any kind of strife you may have, any kind of doubt you may have, any kind of situation. He is the one that we hope in, and he is the one who is our help. He is the one who delivers us. He's the one who makes it right. Just teach Jesus for folks to hang on to that. The life will, of course, follow through. The Holy Spirit will do his work, turning hearts. We don't have to do that. We proclaim it. God does the rest. And we follow in as God leads us to nurture, to help, to love. Preach Jesus. I want to preach longer, but I look at my watch and I know there's a 3rd hour class. Let me end with this. The Lord has blessed us all richly and abundantly. We love Jesus Christ. We have the privilege to have been called by his Spirit to be a part and parcel of the body of Christ. To do what? To preach Jesus. Wherever you go, whoever you are, be you visitor, candidate, a student with an assignment, or waiting for one, or guest, whatever. Whatever you are, do that. Realize how God tells us, puts us in the right place at the right time for what purpose? To share Jesus Christ. May it please Almighty God and by his grace. Instead of wondering why, give thanks that you're at that stage now, that you too can go out and preach Jesus as Philip did. May God grant that we will treasure this whole calling we have and live it, now and forever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which casts out all understanding, keep your hearts in faith in Christ Jesus, now and forever.